it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, these days, only Mother Nature can slow the Orioles down. We're going to be in a rain delay at Camden Yards on this Saturday night. And so the start of the game tonight will be rain delayed. It is raining at Camden Yards right now, ever so slightly. They're hoping that they can start the game sometime before 8. It could be 8:30. They tell us the rain tonight will not go away until maybe after 9 p.m. So we'll just sit and wait. Orioles are looking for a fourth consecutive victory. Of course, now the question tonight is, will the Red Sox let Manny slide? We'll see what happens. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, Dylan Bundy last night was 7 scoreless, 3 double plays in the first 3 innings, then 6th inning, 2 on, nobody out. He gets out of that inning. Was he kind of showing how he's learning to maybe navigate through trouble? Maybe that was one of the more impressive aspects of his start.
Yeah, you're trying to minimize the damage there. And, you know, I said after the game last night, we were fortunate. You don't give them that many opportunities. I shouldn't say give them. They earned them and get out of it. But the double play balls were huge. And the job that our guys did turning them, I thought, was big. So, you know, Dylan, you know, he navigated and managed his way through those innings. He had good stuff, but that's a really good offensive team. And to go through 9 innings and keep them from scoring a run was pretty special. I thought Donnie Hart and Michael had some big outs, and Brad was really good again.
How do you have to use the pen differently? Maybe it's an obvious question, but without Zach, obviously beyond just he's not the 9th inning guy, there's some things you have to do differently because Brock is the 9th inning guy, at least again last night.
Well, we've been doing it for a while now since Zach's been out. You can't pitch the same guys every night physically. You know, we were fortunate with Brocky that he had only had 10 pitches one outing, 9 the other, and was okay last night. And but I'm trying to keep away from using him and Darren on the same night unless we have an off day. We did it in Cincinnati because they both had 4 and 5 days off, so we knew we could pitch them and have them the next day. You know, Donnie Hart can defend himself against some right-hand hitters. Pedroia is a neutral split anyway. You just pick your poison. I thought since he had never seen him, there might be a little ambush there. He had never had an at-bat off of him. And Michael was a good matchup against Betts. And you know, they executed it. It was tough getting through there, but we're also trying to grow them a little bit and have them graduate to the next level. So, you know, it worked out last night, but, you know, it's a challenge for Roger and I and Alan to make sure that we keep all our bullets available, knowing that sometimes you go for it, and because when you see a game that is there to win, you better go for it, but you also have to manage it for long term.
I mentioned Zach. How was his MRI?
Good. Elbow was real clean. You know, that was a byproduct of MRI in the forearm, and what we thought we would find, we found, and we got that out of the way, and, you know, he's moving forward now, getting a little better every day.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, there was a lot of controversy, 8th inning, Manny Machado slide, and Pedroia. You hadn't had a chance to see the replay when we asked you about it after the game. What did you see once you took a look?
You know, saw what everybody else saw. You know, Manny hit the bag, kind of bounced off of it, was safe at second, and the replay got him because he came off the bag trying to keep Pedroia from hurting himself. He knew he'd made hard contact with him, and so, you know, it was something that you hate to see happen, but it happened. And you know, I was really proud of the way Manny really secondary lead and got down there and beat the force at second. And you know, there was no double play two turn, but you know, I can understand if you're looking at it through Boston's eyes, you might look at it differently than we do, but you know, I obviously look at it differently.
Buck, what are the keys for Jason Aquino tonight?
I think it always starts with pitchers, especially young guys, command of the fastball, and then you know, he's got a good changeup. His breaking ball has really improved, and the one thing we liked about this guy in the spring, he wasn't scared. I mean, this guy wasn't fearful of the competition. You know, he let it rip and really won the 5th job there in the spring with Tillman out, and you know, he deserves an opportunity here, and it'll be a good learning experience for him tonight.
Chris Tillman was supposed to pitch in Frederick tonight. That game was rained out. What's his schedule now?
Well, last night after the game, we were looking at the weather and saw that it was 70-80% in Frederick today, and we knew there was a 6 o'clock game in Harrisburg, so and it was supposed to be 20% at 6:05 game, so we transferred him to pitch that game because it's important. You know, if it's one day we get him back earlier, then we're going to take advantage of that. So, you know, we through our farm director and everything, we moved some things around. He's going to pitch in Harrisburg tonight, weather permitting, but it's, we have a lot better chance of him pitching there than we would have in Frederick, and they actually got rained out today.
And Joey Rickard, is any update on him?
Yeah, Joey took flips, soft toss, and hit off coaches today and felt really good. That was a real positive of the day so far. So, you know, if he feels good tomorrow, and we'll do it again tomorrow with some more inside pitches, then we could potentially see him go out Monday.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rick, thank you. How about the Oriole pitching staff so far this season? Yeah, quality starts, bullpen, the most saves in the American League. Well, Jim Hunter, he sat down with Alan Mills to talk about Oriole pitching, and you'll hear that conversation in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
At Oriole Park at Camden Yards, we will have a rain delay at the start of tonight's game as the Orioles and Red Sox battle it out again following the Orioles' 2-0 win last night. Rain delay here at Camden Yards, hoping for an update very shortly. We'll chat with Alan Mills, the Orioles pitching coach, after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Red Sox, middle game of three this weekend at Camden Yards, and visiting with pitching coach Alan Mills. Now, Alan, you've had an interesting career. You pitched 12 years in the big league, so obviously you know how to pitch and what it takes to win at this level. And then you decided to get back into coaching, and you went to the New York Penn League. That was your first assignment. Now, looking back on that, where you're getting guys that probably are in their first year of pro ball, how did what you learned there translate to what you now have now?
You know, as far as coaching, you make progress just as a, like you would as a player every year. The coach I was in the New York Penn League my first year, you know, hopefully by now I've gotten a little better. I think I have, and just try to improve each and every day and each and every year.
Now, over the course of time, what are some of the things that stand out that you know you've learned that you then can translate to help a player?
Well, patience more than anything. You know, having kids, teaching in high school, just being around guys that have coached, you know, for a number of years, and trying to pick up certain things from them and learn, like I said, on a daily basis, and just try to get better. I try to learn every day. I watch Roger. I watch Buck. You know, I've, you know, been around Scotty McGregor, Dave Smith. I mean, just Gary Kendall, just numerous guys, Brian Graham, just try to learn from as many people that have, you know, years of experience coaching, both, you know, minor league and major league, and just trying to help myself get better so I can, you know, help the players.
Terry Crowley used to tell us that what he tried to avoid was forcing his ideas on an individual hitter. He felt that he was better suited to the hitter if he could help that hitter be the best that he could be. Is that what you found as a pitching coach?
Well, everybody's an individual. You know, you take our bullpen, for example. You know, Darren O'Day doesn't throw like Michael Givens. They both have unorthodox deliveries, but they both are different. Donnie Hart doesn't throw like Vidal Nuno. Brad Brott doesn't throw like Britton. You know, everybody's different, and you try to work with what a guy does naturally and try to enhance that and make him better.
Now, you have a bullpen that's kind of unique in the sense that it's half veteran but half young. So how do you balance how you help each of those pitchers?
Same way when I was a player. When I first signed on here and got traded over from New York, we had a veteran staff and a young staff. You know, it was Mike Mussina's first full year. Rick Sutcliffe was here. Mike Flanagan was here. Storm Davis was here. Then we had, you know, some young guys. We had Jose Mesa. We called him Table. He, you know, he was a starter at the time. You know, hadn't developed into the closer he did once he got to Cleveland. You just try to, you know, learn from the veteran guys and, you know, bring the young guys along as, you know, as they get experience at this level.
You have a couple of guys on the staff, Michael Givens and Donnie Hart, who were with you at AA. You were helping them to develop to get here, and now they're here. Givens is established, and it looks like Donnie's established. What do you remember from them as AA pitchers and what you're seeing now?
Well, Givens, for me, was my first look at him, was in Bowie. I've had and been around Donnie since he first signed in the New York Penn League. As far as Givens, you know, like I said, he's he's unorthodox, you know, where he throws from and how hard he throws and the stuff he has. He's, you know, exceptional athlete. And both the guys you mentioned, so is Donnie Hart. Both of them are very talented individuals, and I just try to, like I said, help them and try to stay out of their way more than anything.
Yeah, what is the dynamic in the bullpen? Because obviously the main role of a reliever, and Buck says this all the time, is get somebody out when I bring in the game. But obviously there are certain parts of the game where the relievers know if the phone rings, it's going to be them. How do you help them get ready for that phone call?
Well, you know, Roger and I, we meet with Buck before the game, so we have a pretty good idea on what we're doing going forward before the game starts. You know, we have somewhat of a game plan. You know, things change based on, you know, the circumstances in the game. But, you know, guys kind of have an idea of their role and when it'll come up. And, you know, as a bullpen coach, you just try to help them to be prepared, you know, for that role where when the phone rings, it's not a surprise.
In 1997, you were on an Oriole team that went wire to wire and almost went to the World Series. And Randy Myers that year blew one save, and it was in May, an incredible year. Zach Britton last year was perfect, and he's perfect so far this year. As a former reliever, can you really identify with the dominance back then with Randy and what Zach's doing now?
Absolutely. The difference between, you know, Myers and Britton. Britton does it with one pitch. He's more like Mariano Rivera. He threw one pitch and he got major league hitters out. Very few people are able or talented enough to do that, and Zach's one of those guys. You know, look forward to him coming back. We miss him.
Well, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Camden Yard. Yep, in the win column again. I tell you what, Jim, you know, we talked so much about the Orioles lately, ability to win ball games. Scoring just two runs. I got to be honest. I mean, in the American League, especially in the American League, to win a ball game scoring four runs is not all that easy.
Oh, I agree.
but that's where they did here tonight. And, yep, it's all about pitching. Tonight, the bullpen, again, was marvelous. But how about Jason Aquino? His first major league start, he wins it. And tonight he gave the Orioles, you look at starting pitching, he gave the Orioles their eighth quality start in the last nine games.
And, you know, this could be a real good learning experience for Aquino, Joe. If you look at his game, he did go six innings on two runs, so that's a quality start, so you check that box. But he did not have one three-up, three-down inning, not one. So he's navigating around a very dangerous lineup that you know is due to break out at any time. But while he was in the game, the Red Sox left eight men on in this game, and seven were stranded when he was on the mound. So I thought he made some good pitches. He did have some good fortune. There were some balls that were definitely hitter's pitches. You know, the two balls that Leon hit to the warning track, one on Donnie Harper, one was against Aquino. But still, he did enough, and I think it's a real good learning experience. Now he has a reference point. He could go back and see how he got out of jams, what worked and what didn't work. And I thought he was very, very solid.
Well, really, he made some mistakes. One he did not get away with. And that was the hanging breaking ball to Jackie Bradley Jr. in the third. It gave the Red Sox the early 2-0 lead. But there were some mistakes he got away with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Red Sox in the game went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position against Aquino.
Yeah, and they came in tied with the Orioles for the best record, or batting average, rather, in runners in scoring position at 3-10. And they had their chances, but that's the key here, as Aquino was able to navigate through those innings without allowing Boston, A, to get more than the runs off the home run, but B, have one of those big innings. Stephen Wright on the other side was not able to do that. After the Orioles had the three runs in on the two home runs, he got the second out of the inning, but then three consecutive hits got another run in, and that ended up being a big, big insurance run. When you're up by two and they need three to beat you, that's big.
Well, here's the bottom line about the pitching. I mean, the Oriole pitching staff has now given up just three runs in the last 42 innings.
Yes.
So I think that says a lot. And if you're Buck Showalter and Roger McDowell, you got to think about this too. Zach Britton is on the disabled list. I think you'd agree that Brad Brock has filled in very admirably.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been so good. And now Michael Givens, the job he did tonight, there's the third guy that Buck could go to if he needed a closer. Now, Donnie Hart almost got it done today, but Michael Givens right now is very impressive.
Well, he bridged the gap. I mean, he had such an easy time. He comes on, he gets six up and six down, so that left the ninth inning for Buck to do whatever he wanted, mix and match-wise, and because you have the switch hitter left-hander coming up, he goes to Donnie Hart. If it was a three-out save, fine. Donnie gets the save. If not, he had Darren O'Day. And that's where the depth of the bullpen does come in. Obviously, it'll be better when the best closer in the game comes back, but they have quality people for the back end of the bullpen that could fill a variety of roles, and they were outstanding tonight. Three scoreless innings and just the one base runner against the Orioles' bullpen, and that was that hit batsman by Hart with two down in the ninth inning.
Now, when the game began tonight, the Orioles were fifth in the American League in home runs. They're behind Texas. They're behind Tampa Bay. They're behind the Yankees. And the Oakland A's, I think, were ahead of the Orioles in that home run race, team home runs. This season, the Orioles twice have hit back-to-back home runs. And on each occasion, it was Trey Mancini and Jonathan Scope.
You know, and it's interesting because the percentage of the runs driven in via the home run, it keeps going up because of how they're winning these games. But that's okay. When you get the long ball, here Chris Davis doubles with one down, and Mancini hits one into the bullpen. And then Jonathan Scope, who fell behind in that at-bat, he gets a home run, and the Orioles go back-to-back. But when you have that long ball threat up and down the lineup, this is a really tough team to beat. And, Joe, they're now just under 55% of their runs scored coming in on those home runs. Just incredible. Only Milwaukee has a higher percentage than the Orioles.
Well, tonight they scored runs in just one inning, and it was good enough.
Yeah, good enough because of the pitching. And, again, when you have the starter giving you a chance to win, this is now a fourth consecutive start of at least six innings, and it's a fourth consecutive quality start. And the starters now over the last four games have gone 3-0. The bullpen has the other win, and they have excelled. And that's how you win games. Sure, the hitting is going to be there. This is only the fourth time all year the Orioles have 10 base hits. But if you can pitch like this, this is allowing the Orioles to get these leads and get these wins. And they're now 12-4 on the year. And who would have thought this because of the pitching?
You know what? I think I thought that.
You know, I think you...
Sometime in spring training, that's exactly what I thought.
You know, you said that to me. I think it was on March 17th, the broadcast.
I have that on tape.
Yeah.
I think Tiny can dig it up if you want.
Absolutely. Maybe for tomorrow.
That's a Jay Aquino. Yep, his first big league start. He gave up a single in the first, but there was no damage. He got three outs on 18 pitches. In the second, an out, then a walk, but then two outs after that. And in that second inning, it was Sandoval who closed out the inning. Aquino, a check of first, and delivers 2-2. Pablo swings him in. And he got him with a pitch that was about 88. And again, to a right-hand hitter, looked like a bit of a screwball effect. It broke away from Sandoval, and he just couldn't reach it. That's just a real good sinking fastball to get that strikeout. So it was a nothing-nothing game heading to inning number three. Bogaerts, with one out, would single. And then Bradley came up to hit Jackie Bradley Jr., and that's when Aquino hung a breaking ball.
Here's the 1-0 pitch, swinging a high fly ball to deep right, and that ball's going to go up in the zone, and Jackie Bradley hits it out, and the Red Sox grab a 2-0 lead. Well, he didn't miss it, hits it out onto the flag court, his first of the year, and Boston grabs the early lead.
And it remained that way, 2-0 Boston, until the bottom of the fourth inning. One out, that's when the big fella, Chris Davis, doubled off the scoreboard out there toward right center. And so he was on base for Trey Mancini.
Mancini bounced out to third, his first at-bat. He is now just 1-for-10 in his last four games. And the pitch to him, swinging a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Did he do it? Boom, boom has done it. It's gone. Into the bullpen. And with that swing, we are tied at two. Mancini's fifth of the year has brought this game even at 2-2.
So there you go. Très bien, Mr. Mancini. And yeah, we're starting over again. But then just moments after that.
And the pitch swinging a high fly ball left field. Young is back on it. This ball has a chance. And that ball is gone. Jonathan Scope. And the O's go back-to-back. And the Orioles now have a 3-2 lead. So Scope and Mancini, each homer against Wright in back-to-back starts.
There you go, back-to-back. Second time this season, Mancini and Scope have homered back-to-back. The only two back-to-back home run games so far for the Orioles this season. After that, Hardy a deep fly ball out. Caleb doubled. And then Gentry an infield single. Runners on first and third. Adam Jones came up to hit to try to hit that fluttering knuckleball, and did a great job with it going the opposite field.
And we've seen Adam inside out his swing and just poke a ball to right field for a base hit. See if Stephen Wright cooperates with the knuckler. 1-1 the count. Gentry runs. The pitch is swung on. Base hit to right field. He did exactly that. Here's Joseph to score. And hustling the third is Craig Gentry. How about that? Adam Jones went against the shift and just poked it into right field for a single. So it's a four-run inning for the Birds, and the Orioles now lead it 4-2.
There you go. So for the first time for Jason Aquino as a big league starting pitcher, he had a lead. Going to the top of the fifth inning. One out, bases empty. Bradley came up, and he walked him. After that, Mookie Betts popped out. And then the dangerous Hanley Ramirez came up to hit. Ramirez waits, count 3-2, and again Aquino. He delivers. There go the runners. Wing! And Ramirez got him. Struck him out, and he got him off speed. Aquino picks up his second strikeout tonight, and the Red Sox strand a couple of runners in the fifth. And so Aquino does prosper with the lead, he meant to say. He had a 4-2 lead.
Was that a late edit?
It was. It must have been. But you got it. After that, well, Aquino went six innings. Gave up two runs, six hits. Walked three. Had a couple of strikeouts. He throws 99 pitches in his first big league start. After that, it was at the bullpen. Michael Givens came on seventh inning. Got him 1-2-3 with a strikeout. And then in the eighth, again, he got him 1-2-3. And there's a called strike three. Michael Givens, he gets young looking. Michael Givens here tonight, six up, six down, and a couple of strikeouts, and a couple of real good defensive plays for the former shortstop. Nicely done. I'll tell you what, when Michael Givens is pitching, the Oriole infield might be the best in baseball, the way he fields his position.
Well, he's comfortable out there. He used to be in an infield with Machado and Scope. He was the second baseman. Yeah. Jonathan was at third, Manny at short, so he wants to keep up with those guys.
That was fun to watch. That defense up the middle. Well, after that, Donnie Hart was given a chance to maybe close out this game. He got the first out. He got Leon on a deep fly ball. And then Selsky, the pinch hitter, struck him out. Two gone, bases empty in a two-run game. Hernandez came up to hit Marco, but Hart hit him with a pitch. And so the Red Sox had a base runner, and they had the tying run up there to hit. Out came Buck Showalter. In came Darren O'Day. And for Darren O'Day, it didn't take him long. Here's the pitch. And a breaking ball lined to Scope. He's going to catch it. Ball game is over. Orioles in the win column yet again. It is their fourth consecutive victory. Darren O'Day comes in on one pitch. He picks up the save. And the left-hander Jason Aquino, his first big league start in the win column himself. Trey Mancini hits one. Scope hits one. They go back-to-back. And now on Sunday, they have a chance to sweep the Red Sox here at the Yard. Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter. He probably's got Trey Mancini. He's got a couple of scores and some post-game information when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards as the Orioles beat the Red Sox for a second consecutive night, winning it 4-2. So the Birds are short of the series win. They are now 5-0-1 split in their sixth series on the year. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Would that have been Donnie Hart's first save?
He would have gotten a lineup card.
I was actually thinking about the dugout. Okay, what am I going to do? No. it would have cut it in half. We didn't make a copy. There's one down in the bullpen, so we could have used that one probably. What's up?
What'd you think of Aquino? What'd you say?
Good. I thought Caleb did a good job with him maneuvering through that. I think you saw some of the things that you like about him. He doesn't lack for, I don't want to say confidence, just, you know, he's one of those guys, here's mine, see what you can do with it, and I'm not going to pick around. And, you know, I wish I'd come up with a better phrase, and there's just some personality to his pitch, and he's got a good hand. And you know, it's a cold night, too. Guys were having trouble gripping the baseball, everybody, except, you know, that's one advantage a knuckleballer might have is, you know, he doesn't have to. Of course, I don't know much about knuckleballing, so I should probably shut up. You might tell me I'm wrong, but, you know, Michael was big for us. going through that part of the order. And you know, Donnie, we needed all of them to get those outs. But Keno's good. Athletic guy. Michael made a couple plays that looks like an ex-shortstop. Oh, he is.
When you, you know, when you saw this guy in spring training and you said how much, you know, what a different pitcher he looked like last year. Is this the pitcher that you saw tonight?
In spring, yeah. You know, keep in mind, that's a really good club. You know, they're obviously minus Pedroia, but, you know, you're getting everybody's best shot up here. And he actually struggled more with the left-handed hitters, it seemed like. He had a changeup. He got hurt on and a slider to Bradley. But, no, I'm glad that you keep an open mind because, you know, what I saw on a quick look last year didn't match up to what I saw in the spring, what we saw in the spring. And, you know, you kind of lean on what your guys that see them consistently down below say. So I was glad to see what everybody was talking about.
You're big on the process, you know, September baseball and then spring training, the regular season. But are you impressed with the Trey Mancini's put together this month? It seems like every time he's in there, he's making an impact.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Leave it alone. He's, you know, Trey's a very, you know, I can tell the veteran players respect the way that he carries himself, and I think he's very humble. He's obviously been brought up well, that he knows how hard this is to do and, you know, how the game can humble you. But I think that's why people have, I know his teammates have kind of really gotten on page with him because, you know, they like the way he carries himself and handles the success he's had in a short period.
Buck, each team had a hit-by-pitch at the end of the game. Are you
really?
Are you confident they were accidental?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm confident it happened.
Buck, two times this year with Wright, two times within 11 days, you guys have really hit him hard. Is it? And last year he was successful against you.
Yeah, go figure.
Coincidence, knuckleball, or
no? He's going to get it going. He's got. It's kind of the world of, you know, this guy. For a while they were talking Cy Young with him, and you know, we've seen the best of him, and we've just been fortunate to catch him before he's really got it going. And it started out early, like I've said before, and you see those weak fly balls and balls off the end of the bat and stuff. It doesn't usually bode well for you, but you know, it seemed like he may have lost his feel for it a little bit there for that inning. But, you know, we needed everything. I thought Gentry made another contribution out in the outfield. He played well out there. But, you know, they pitched well, too. There was a couple of innings for both of us, and then the pitching made it stand up.
Buck, when you look at kind of how the rotation has pitched lately, and then guys like Aquino and Asher making good use of their opportunities, man, are you impressed with where the starting pitching depth is at? And it just seemed like in years past it was, you know, we need a starter from down below, and there weren't as many options as there are.
Well, you know, it's you know, you kind of shuffle the deck, and you know, if certain things aren't working, then you go in some other directions. You know, Dan's good at that, and you know, I like right now where we sit depth wise, but you know, Chris had a good healthy outing tonight, said it's the best he's felt, so that was good to see. And we actually watched it up until about the third inning inside. Somehow Roger found the game on some computer. It's unbelievable. I don't think I really want to know how that all works, because I'll never go to bed if I figure that out. But he, you know, those are things. We, you know, got to hold the fort down through that. The opportunities create some depth that, you know, we can go do things. You know, we really don't need a fifth starter now to the 2nd of May. So, you know, we got to decide what we're going to do with some guys like Aquino and Asher, but it's a really good problem to have, one we haven't had here too much.
Sorry, the report was good on Tillman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's supposed to, I think he threw 58. He was supposed to throw no more than 60-ish. I'm sure I'll talk to Dean Allman. He was there, and Gary Kendall a little bit, see what they thought, but. Chris will be here tomorrow. He actually called about, should I come back to the locker room? Said, no, I think, see you tomorrow morning.
Buck, you've said the next thing that Givens has to do to really step his game up is be able to defend himself better against lefties. He pitched to Bradley and struck him out, mm-hmm. and got Moreland to pop up on a like kind of a
yeah, you know, he slowed him down with something soft where it plays the fastball plays up even more, and then the front door fastball, that's one that he's really been trying to, without giving too much away, the one that comes in here and they give on. But you know, the changeup's still going to be big for him. It's another step, you know, like to see him get consistent with that. Then you really got something you can use in all situations. But you know, we're lucky to have Darren down there, and you know, being able to turn around a couple of switch hitters you want to turn around. Not really. Leon's actually a little better against left-handers, but he wasn't the tie and run.
That was a nice catch that Gentry made at the wall.
Well, I just said he's going to contribute somehow, but you can't always make him hit the ball to you. Joey had, like I said earlier, had a good day, so you know, we'll have some good decisions to make coming up, I hope. Good. Sleep fast. Weather's better tomorrow, right?
Well, the postgame comments of Buck Showalter as the Orioles win it 4-2.